Okay, let's begin for tonight. The second half of our discussion of Tfilas Kelim. We just started. We mentioned that, as we started last week, there will be five sections to this, to our discussion. One of them, the first one we did last week, that was the source and the background of the definitions of general rules and regulations. And number two, which we're in the middle of, are the types of utensils. Last week we discussed different materials, and we are in the middle of that. But just wanted to note, I mentioned last week, we mentioned the heter of Rav Shlomo Zalman, not Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rav Avadi Yosef, who talks about the restaurants, and there's part of the heter of the restaurants is that they buy it l'schora for business, so they don't have a chiyuv to tovel it. So that was part of what his heter was based on, eating at a restaurant that did not tovel their kelim. So I spoke to Rabbi Eisen today from the Vod. I asked him about different policies the Vod has. So he said all the restaurants tovel their kelim. Any restaurant under the Vod has an obligation to tovel their kelim, and you have to make sure. We'll talk about who's allowed to do the toveling at the end of tonight's year, hopefully. But, you know, it has to be done. It has to be done properly. You have to make sure that you take all the stickers off and it all goes under all at once. And if you're holding it, so they have mashgichim on the, and, you know, the restaurants are, it's part of the agreement with the Vod to tovel the kelim. But I asked him about onuts. Those are not tovel generally. That's under the thing. I think the store is under the Vod, but that is not tovel because he says that what they rely on is that if it's bought for merchandise, they're not using it to serve food in their stores over and over again, where there's a real serious issue. And a real b'dieved, as we saw last week. But this is a what type thing. They're going to package something in a container and then give it. So anything that's in a plastic or in a china or pottery, we said there's no chiyuv of tefillah last week. But something in a glass. Let's say you get jelly beans in a glass. So then, if you're going to keep it, so then it requires tefillah. Even if you're not going to keep it, it's the first time we mentioned last time, even one time, that's a misconception. So what do you do here? So their policy is not. Well, you have to dump it out before. The Minhag Yisrael is not to dump it out. You get a nice, beautiful jelly bean dish. You don't dump it out. So what's the heter? So the heter is probably based on the other sheet that we mentioned last week of Rav Shlomo Zalman. Rav Shlomo Zalman mentions that if you're in somebody's house and they give you food, so is taking out from a bowl, is that using the bowl? Using the bowl means putting stuff in, taking stuff out, using it. But just taking a jelly bean out of a bowl, is that using the bowl? So that's probably why the minhag is not to tovel, you know, if you already get food in the bowl. If you get the bowl just wrapped up with no food in it, then you can't put food in it. And for sure, you have to tovel it right away before you use it even the first time. But if you already get packaged, a lot of their stuff is cheres, is pottery, so you don't have to tovel a lot of the designs. But if you get a glass bowl, so then again, if the jelly beans are in it, you don't have a chiyuv to do it. If you don't want to forget, because you might just leave it there and just put it back in the break front after you use it, so it might be a good idea just to, I'm not saying to have to, but it might be a good idea just to put it into something else, unless the guests are coming for lunch. You don't want to not, you know, have it have it there, and then after Shabbos, just to remember to tovel it. So again, that's just a hara from last week. Okay, so we're in the middle of discussing types of utensils. So we discussed materials last week. Metal, yes. Wooden, stone, no. Glass, yes. Plastic, no. Corel, Corningware, we spoke about. Want you to tovel them, at least without a bracha. China, that was the last thing we did, and that was no tefillah required, even if it's glazed. Again, machlokas poskim, but my poskim hold that one does not have to tovel them, even if it is glazed. That's what the Vod holds also. The Vod, none of the china in these restaurants are toveled, even if they're glazed, because they rely on the poskim that say that china does not require tefillah, period. Okay, a couple of other issues in this category of types of utensils. What about disposable? I don't think we mentioned disposable. That's what we were up to, right? I don't think we covered it. Disposable tin pans. Tin pans. Let's say you're going to use your tin pan six times. So do you have to tovel your tin pans? So most poskim say there is no need to tovel them, even if you are going to reuse them. That is what most poskim say. If you look in source number 9, we're in packet Tfilas Kelim Bayes. We're up to source number 9. From the Sefer Tfilas Kelim, in the footnote there, he quotes a number of achronim that hold this way. The Afagav, where it's underlined in source number 9. The Afagav, the Kaimalan, da filo tashmish arai, usur below tfila. Even though we do hold that even a one-time usage is not allowed without tovaling, That's only if you have a kli which is made to be permanent, so then you can't even use it once. You can't even use it in a temporary fashion. But if a disposable, it's not meant to last. It's not built. It doesn't have the status of a kli in halacha. And therefore, there's only a mitzvah of tevilas kalim. If something doesn't have the status of a kli, so therefore one does not have to tovel it. V'gam eina makabel tuma, right? V'hilchos tuma v'tara, v'hiri yibana beis hamikdash. The tin pans will not be makabel tuma, according to the Rambam, if you throw it out. V'atam on line 5, delo havi kli, rak shenazel eshtamish bo tadirus. It's only a kli if it is made to be used permanently. Avalo kishenazel eshlicho tefef. And not when it is made to be thrown out, even if you are going to keep it. If people keep them, still, it is not made for that, and therefore, it does not require tefillah. Rabbi Four, if you look in the next column as well, he also discusses it that it does not require. Rabbi Forst in the next source in Pisgei Halacha in source number 10 as well says that it does not require tefillah. Vod kivan janasa l'shimush chad pa'ami hareino kli, since it's made for a one-time usage. It does not gain the status of a kli. Umasha yachadze mishtamish bo yoser, just because a specific individual keeps it, einu nogeya kla. There's even another svara to be matir, another reason why one can be mako by a temporary. Va'od shamati mi chacham echad. Rabbi Forrest says, I also heard from one wise chacham. Sha'al yidei masha miyachto l'shimash kavua hu osehu kli. We know that the a kli only has to be what's required tefilas kalim. If you buy a kli from a non-Jew and it was made by a non-Jew, but if a Jew made the kli, you don't have to tovel it, right? Made in Israel, we saw the tshuva from Moshe last week. You can assume it was made by Jews, even if they're not from. It's okay for tefilas kalim. So when the factory made those tin pans, it did not have the status of a kli yet, because it was made to be thrown out. All of a sudden, you decide you're going to use this 5 times. So you, the Jew, have just given it the status of a kli. So it's nasa b'yad Yisrael. It's like made in Israel. The Jew made it, so it doesn't have a chiyuv of tefillah. So either way you're covered. If you want to say it never gets the status of a kli, so therefore you don't have to tovel it. Or the other svara, that if the Jew decides that he wants to keep it, so then it is the Jew that has made it. Okay, so he quotes others. He says maybe aluminum is not even min haTorah. Maybe it's a derabanan at most. And he quotes from Yaakov Kamenetsky, Lepoja mit tefillah mitamzeh. Okay. He says in his last line, Lamaisa, if you want to keep it a long time, maybe to tovel it. But again, many poskim say, you might have heard, if you want to be machmer to tovel it, okay, for sure, you can if you want, without a bracha. But again, there is no, it seems like Rova the poskim say that one does not have to, one does not have to tovel it. And just finally, to see the last source regarding this, Rav Moshe says it. Rav Moshe Feinstein in source number 11. Rav Moshe writes, again, he had this Tufshin Lam and Gimel, written in 1973, so think about what disposable items they had back then. They're not made to be used longer. Most people don't use it for so long, because they don't cost a lot. Some people keep it, but still, Rav Moshe says it does not. He writes at the end of the tshuva, like we saw the other poskim. You know, it's not. It does not have a chiyuv of tefillah. Again, this is all about the types of disposable. That, you know, you use it a couple, every time you use it, it gets a little worse. It gets a little more ruined. So, I was on the phone with Rabbi Eisen today, like I mentioned before, so he says, oh, you have to give me a shiur about tefillas kalim, so he brought up disposable. So also there, in the bakeries, let's say that if they cook in a tin pan, it's going to get ruined. But let's say you don't cook in a tin pan. Let's say you make cookies in a tin pan, like one of these tin sheets. So there, it doesn't really get ruined after each time. That could last for a while. If you make chicken in something and cocoa, of course it's going to get ruined. It's probably not going to even use it again. But even if you do, you know, it's still for sure. So what about if it's not going to get ruined, if you use it in a way, it's still, maker adin, you know, the vad also, that's the policy of the vad, but also maker adin, what most posts say, disposable does not require to be tovel. Again, there are those who are machmir regarding this, to be tovel without a bracha, but Rova the Poskim, if one wants to rely on the Mekilim, there's no problem because Rova the Poskim seem to say you do not have to tovel that. What about, though, the next step? What if you have something that's disposable, but it's a real kli? It's just that due to the society that we live in, the affluent society we live in, you know, we throw them out. For example, Snapple bottles. It's by a Snapple. That's disposable. You throw out the bottle. But is that a disposable kli like a tin pan is? You could use that Snapple bottle for the next 10 years. Nothing's going to happen to it. That's a real bottle. So is that the same? That the same as, you know, I mean, what do you mean the same? What would you have to do? What do you have to do? You buy the Snapple bottle, you're allowed to buy Snapple. Right? So what do you do? So the choices are, do you have to pour it out right when you buy it? Pour it out and drink it from a cup. Because then you're not using the bottle. So are you allowed to drink from the Snapple bottle? Or at least, maybe a Snapple bottle, not getting into Hilchos Derech Eretz here. Whether you're drinking from a bottle is appropriate, but halachically, misat tfilas kalim. Misat tfilas kalim. You know, you're allowed to drink from the bottle. Or do you have to pour it out? Even a straw. Maybe a straw is not directly. Not using it directly. Oh, what about a mayonnaise jar? A mayonnaise jar made of plastic, no problem. Mayonnaise jar made of glass. What about a pickle jar? Pickles. Let's say you want to reuse the Snapple bottle. Forget the first time. You want to reuse the Snapple bottle and the pickle jar and any of these made out of glass. Again, anything plastic, no problem. We pass plastic does not require tefillah. Yeah.
But a pickle jar, you may not use it in one shot.
To use it afterwards. Let's say after you finish it, you clean it, then you could use it to like put macaroni in and put the. I'm saying, so then, again, the first time we said, again, the same issue as a Snapple bottle, but again, maybe what can be makel, like the Rishon Mazama we mentioned earlier, taking something out of a bottle, that's not really called using it. Filling it up, putting it in, filling it up, like using it afterwards, but again, you're right. Maybe you would have to, we'll see if anybody says this, maybe if it's glass and it's permanent, just because you throw it out, because of the affluent society we live in, you know, maybe that doesn't give it the status of disposable, like a tin pan, where it gets ruined each time you use it. So Rav Moshe has a tshuva about this in source number 12. Again, Rav Moshe has a where he writes, "Bedvar kankanim etzlochius." He didn't have Snapple. Yesh lo machmas shalachach midach or yesh v'shar mashkin. So you had whiskey, v'chein kliya coffee or some type of coffee canister again made out of glass. Im sricha tefila, does that require tefila? So says Rav Moshe, "Bedvar kankanim batzlochius yesh li Yisrael." Yesh stands for yain saruf, literally burned wine. That's the code word for whiskey in halachic literature. She'einim karm ela b'kaleihem, says Rav Moshe. So do you have to tovel these coffee bottles, these other types of bottles? Mistaval and yizdaiti she'ein tzrichin tefila. Says Rav Moshe, you don't have to. You don't have to tovel them. Kisherotze achar shenisroken. Hakli lishtamish bala mashkan acherim. If you want to use it after it's finished, why not? Vatamiyu mishum. Rav Moshe has a chiddush here. The hakli nivtal lahamashkin. The bottle does not have its own identity. What did you buy from the guy? You bought Snapple and you bought a Snapple bottle. You bought two things from the guy. Like out of your $1.25, $1 was the Snapple and 25 cents was the bottle. Forget recycling, but it has its own identity, says Rav Moshe. No. He sold you this, and this is the container that it's in, but it's not that it has its own identity. Skip to where it's underlined. V'nifsa shalokana me'akam kli klal. You didn't buy the bottle. He threw it in. V'rak eitzel Yisrael na'asa kli. It doesn't have the status of a kli, like we said before. Shalekal zedin tefila. It doesn't have the status of a kli when it was in the hands of a non-Jew. Because he sold you the Snapple. Even if you want to say that maybe the Snapple guy bought bottles from bottle factories. They were made as bottles. And he's just using it to sell to you. He says, even there I'll be mako, but he says, Bisman said, we don't have that. The Snapple people make the Snapple bottles. The coffee people make the coffee bottles. It never has its own status. So therefore it says here, Moshe, line 8, leka there's no mitzius that the bottles will be made by a bottle company and then the other company will buy it. Right? Every factory makes its own bottles. Everybody makes their own bottles, and therefore says Rav Moshe, let's just finish the point, turning over the page, going to the end of the tshuva. Top line. It goes by the seller. According to the guy who sold it to you, it's just like a shell. It's like a shell. It doesn't have its own status as a kli. Hare ein lahachshiv oso kli shel nachri shlakach bimenu. It does not have the status of a kli, says Rav Moshe, when it's in the hands of a non-Jew. Kivet shelo hayetzel nachri b'chashivas kli. Once you get it, you want to keep it, so you're going to get the status of a kli. And therefore, it's a kli nei shenase b'yad Yisrael, a kli made by a Jew, and therefore, it does not require tefillah. So this is the most makel shita, and again, this is what a number of poskim say, that even if you want to reuse it, one does not have to tovel it. Just to mention, there are others, the Chazon Ish is b'shem the Chazon Ish, they say he's machmir even the first time. Even the first time, meaning if you buy something that you know was not toveled, so you should pour it out. You should pour it out into another kli, and then use it. You buy a Snapple, pour it into another cup, and then drink, be makpid to drink from the cup. Not just al tzederach eretz, but because of hilchas tefilas kelim. Rav Shechter is, his tamidim drink with a straw. That's right, it's lav dafka that be'ikar hadin, but, you know, maybe not to directly use the bottle. At least the first time, most poskim seem to be mekel. If you use it a second time, you know, there's more, or Moshe's mekel across the board. It seems to be more poskim that seem to say that if you're going to keep it, maybe you should tovel it without a bracha. Tovel it without a bracha. If you're going to keep, most of the times we don't keep the Snapple bottles or any of these. But if you're going to keep something, a pickles bottle or something like that, so it seems that maybe, you know, if Rabbi Heinemann says this, that you should tovel them if you're going to keep them. Yeah.
Palm? The pomegranate juice.
Okay.
There's certain bottles that they juice. Have that's meant. You take the cup off and it becomes a cup.
Okay, well the bottle becomes a cup. Okay, so that's actually using it. So again, according to Rav Moshe, you'd be makel anyway, because it's meant to be thrown out after it's used, it's disposable, and therefore it's not a problem. If it's meant to be something that's meant to be a function as a cup and for you to keep as a cup afterwards, then it would be more of a problem, because that's not meant to be disposable. According to Rav Moshe, not according to the Chazon Ish. According to the Chazon Ish, yes. Okay, so that's regarding issues of disposable. One final discussion in this issue of types of materials and types of utensils, and then we'll get to the definition of Kli Se'uda. Last part of section 2. Electric utensils. Electric utensils that you plug in. A George Foreman. An urn, toaster, toaster oven. So again, the trays that come out, not a problem. You got to total the trays. Anything that comes out of there are two. There's the toaster ovens where that's the flat, and the old fashioned toasters where you just put the bread in from the top. So we're going to talk about both of them. But again, anything that comes out, you have to tovel. You have to tovel it if it's one of the materials, metal, glass, anything plastic does not require tefillah. But what do you do? Let's say the George Foreman is the big kasha of Bizman Hazeh. So what do you do with, is there a chiyuv to tovel? So misvara, you know, lachar, you would say, yeah, I mean, this is a kli. It's a kli suda. You prepare food with it. It comes in direct contact with the kli, with the food. So why shouldn't you have to tovel it or figure out a way to tovel it? The question is, though, how do you tovel it? How do you tovel it? So there is a big kula of the Chelkas Yaakov in Source 13. Source 13, the Chelkas Yaakov, of Yaakov Breisch from Switzerland. He has a big kula, which one can rely on maybe with a couple of other reasons, which we will give. He says there is no need to tovel electric utensils. Why? Why does he say that? Let's see what he says. Let's read the parts where he... Right, see the title. Ben yikli asui lechameim teva coffee b'kolach hachashmal sheba. He's talking about an urn. The ef shalat bila. You can't tovel them. So what do you do? How are you supposed to do it? So he goes through. It's metal. You should have to tovel them. And then towards the bottom of the page, he says lafiani is daiti yesh heter borer lehishtamish apolo tefila. I have a heter that you could even use it without toveling it. And he quotes what? He quotes a case of a kedera, third to last line, kedera shel nechoshes hakavua betanur, some type of copper pot that is set onto the oven. Betanur beis achoref, shenogin shein sorach letfila. This type of permanent pot that was connected to the oven. It didn't require tefillah. Why? V'dosan tamla minog. The minog was, again, according from earlier sources, what was the reason? Kivan shekoven oso batanur. Since it is set, connected to the oven. V'hatanur kavua bakarka. And the oven is set on the ground. V'lo naza l'chadchila l'hishtamish bahem. It will always be used, this kind of pot that they're talking about, when it's connected to the ground. So therefore it has the status of karka, grounds. There's a concept in the Gemara called mechubra lakarka, hareyuka karka. Anything that's connected to the ground has the status of earth. A house is earth. A house has the status of karka for many halachas in the Torah, because it's connected to the ground. So that's what he talks about, this kind of pot that was connected to the oven. So he says, turning the page, all of these utensils are only used when they're plugged in. Plugged in, attached to the wall, attached to the grounds. That is his big heter. It loses its status as a kli when you plug it in, and therefore they do not require tevila. Im kain, where it's underlined, benito didana, line 5, kivan shemateches halazed nasa lachadchila. It's made originally, raklish tamish kishu mechubra lakosel. It's made originally only to use when it is attached to the ground, skipping the parentheses. V'yafta b'shashim ishtamish po in a mechubra lakosel. Kiv mikol makom, kivan shenasa raklish tamish kishu mechubar ein mekabal tumah. It's not mekabal tumah, and therefore it loses its status as a kli, and what does not have to tevila. This is a big heter. We try not to rely on this unless we're forced to, but if one wants to rely on it, along with a couple of other svaras that we'll say after we get through all the opinions, there might be space to rely on. Again, other postgame are not happy with this. He says the same thing in the next shuba that I gave you in source 14. That again, you're worried that it will get ruined in the water. So again, he says that of course, there are many svaras back and forth. We're not going to read it. But again, nice shuv in source 14. He says that one does not have to tovel it. Again, other poskim are very not happy with this. It's a kli. So what? It's plugged in. That's connected to the ground. The Shevet Alevi Rav Ozner, one of the poskim Adar today, living in Bnei Brak, he calls it in source 16, Hevel Ruus Ruach. It's foolishness. Tzfulis has very strong words against the Shuvah of the Chalkas Yaakov. It is a Das Yachid. Nobody else really holds this way. But it's important to know the Shuvah as we talk about the other opinions. Yeah?
Oh, I was just going to say, for instance, with battery-operated thing, it would be a problem.
So battery-operated would be a problem. Right, this would not help battery-operated Kalim. Yeah?
So if people get ruined by the water, then...
We'll get to that. That is... Point number one. Let's go through the shitas. Point number one. Each of these shitas might help us by certain kalim, but you're right. It won't help for battery operated kalim. Rav Moshe has a tshuva. I'm not going to do all the shitas, but Rav Moshe has a tshuva. Let's go to source 18. Rav Moshe has a tshuva about the old fashioned urns, where you have the spigot on the bottom, and they have the electric stuff on the bottom, and it's metal on top, and it's possible to hold the urn upside down, and basically everything that touches the water, when the urn holds the water, could be tovelt. You just hold it upside down and you put it in. Because the electrical is a separate section on the bottom, which if you turn it over, it's on top. That's the case that Moshe is talking about. Now our urns, where you just push the top, it doesn't really have a separate electrical section. But Rav Moshe is talking about a type of kli where the electrical wires would be in a separate section from the kli. That's in source 18. Rav Moshe writes, "Biklishim avashlim be'elektri, an electrical kli shebishuleim at the bottom of it ish mechonas elektri she'i efshar litbo makom." Electric shit this kalkel, it's gonna get ruined, right? Rav Moshe wrote this in Tavshin Tazayin, 1957. So Rav Moshe writes, turning over the page to the back page. These types of talim which cannot be toveled, says Rav Moshe, Hine, line 2. Imheim kalim she'en nosim aleim mamachal atzmo. Sorry, that's not what. We'll go to the middle of line 4. Aval kivan she'klize ose shnei dvarim. Really, this kli, this urn, Rav Moshe says, you could really split up into two parts. Lamata hu makam shemunach hamachol lehisbashel, ulamala, he had the opposite, chutei ha'elektri, shehua eishem avashel. Says Rav Moshe, really, if you have a separate section, what the food touches and the electrical wires, you could consider it two separate kelim. And even though usually by tefillas kelim, you have to tovel the whole kli, even the part that doesn't touch the food, like the handle. If you have a bowl, a glass bowl with a handle, you got to tovel the handle too. So you have to usually tovel even the part that doesn't touch the food. But Tzeder Moshe, in this type of case by the electrical urn, you could consider it as two totally separate kelim. And therefore, Tzorach Tzvila Rak Chatzi Akliya Tachton Shemesimen Sam HaMa'achal. So you only have to tovel the part that touches the food, Ubimakam Elyon, where the electrical wires are, Ein Tzorach Tzvila. Even though it's all connected, Ramosha says, I could give you a heter that it's like two different kalim that are connected. It's not one connected kli, and therefore, if one has a type of electrical kli that you could do this with, that's also a way to tovel. Again, this doesn't help with a lot of the kalim that we're talking about, the George Foreman, it doesn't help with, because you know it's all around. If you try to hold it upside down, you know it's still going to get wet. So, but Ramosha helps somewhat. There is another way to solve. Again, the problem is, and we didn't start off, the problem is, won't it get ruined if you put it in? So there is evidence, maybe, that it won't get ruined. Again, you have to know, this is an emotional, you have to know what kind of personality one has. Rabbi Forrest quotes, I have a couple of friends in yeshiva that did it, they dunked the whole thing into the mikvah, they waited 2 weeks, it dried out, and it worked. But, you know, there are other people that will say they did that, then it broke. And what?
It works.
Just let it dry out. So again, if one is of that personality, and again, it's right. So again, if there has been evidence of people, I know at least two people that did it, then it worked afterwards. Again, one does not have. We'll get to two other hatayim in a minute. Two other ways out. One does not have a chiyuv if there's always a limit, a topic of a separate shear, but you only have to spend a certain amount of money to fulfill a mitzvah. Tefillas kelim is a mitzvah. So if you're going to ruin your kli by doing it, obviously there's no chiyuv. You know, if you're going to ruin it, but if there's a way to do it or to get out of the chiyuv, so then one has to try to one has to figure out a way. So again, there is a heter. You want to rely on the Chalkas Yaakov. You know that is yesh mi'amal lismoch to rely on that. There is another way out. If you have a kli like Ramosha, two separate kalim, one could do that. There is another idea that in source 19, which is quoted by a number of achronim, and that is quoted from Rav Shlomo Zalman, kli shebepiruko bizbatel milios kli. Let's say if there is a type of kli that if you take it apart, it loses its status of a kli. And to put it back together, you need an electrician. Not stam, a person who I could take out a screw and put the screw back in. That's not called taking it apart. But if you could take it apart and then get a expert to put it back, yimsereo lachashmali yehudi, sheyefarku v'yivatlu mitores kli, v'archakach yarkiveo mechadosh. Another way out is to get a Jewish electrician to take the whole thing apart and put it back together. Take it apart enough to make it considered not a kli. Not to take the whole thing apart. Take the thing off and just take a piece off that if you were looking at it now, you're like, I have no idea what to do. Right? And then he'll put it back together in a minute. But that's another option if one wants to try to be machmir and fulfill it. So one of my friends told me that when he was in, one of my talmidim told me that when he was in Karen Biavne a couple of years ago, there's one of the rabbanim there that learned how to take apart George Foreman's. And then it put it back because all the Americans have George Foreman's. So he says, so now he learns. So that's his thing. So he takes it apart, and it's like totally separate, and then he puts it back together. And that's, again, should not be tried at home. That's not, that's dafka. But again, that's another heter. Again, but these are all different options. I'm not going to say what one should do, what one has a chiyuv. I'm not going to tell people they don't want to dunk the whole thing. I'm not, you know, here are the opinions. One can, could try to figure out what they want to do. You know, if they want to, you know, try it once and to dunk the whole thing and wait 2 weeks and see what happens. You know, if once that happens once, I don't think there's a chiyuv to do it a second time for sure. But even the first time, you know, there's a suffix whether it's if one really feels one's of the bent of this is dangerous, sakana. So then, you know, there are other ways to do it. Either the electrician way or just rely on not doing it at all because of the Chalkas Yaakov, or to say forget the Chalkas Yaakov. There's no way to tovel this kli, so I don't have to tovel the kli. There's no way to do it.
Right,
if they're manufactured in Israel, not a problem. Right, the urns. The George Foreman's, I don't think they have, you know.
Oh,
so if they have the trade, You have one that trays come out. Uh-huh. So if you have one where the trays could come out, the stuff that's the part that touches the food, then take off the trays. Well, yeah, and then you could just do that. If you could. Food processor, but right, so food processor, the outside is plastic. But all the blades have to be tovel, yeah. All the blades are metal, and all the blades of the food processor have to be tovel. They have almost a lot of those, you know, we live in a neighborhood and in a metropolitan area where almost all the, you buy these places, they make from the back of the store. You know, so they just tell you that there are three blades in here, you got to take this out, and, but yeah, all the blades of a food processor have to be tovel.
And the plastic is not tovel.
If the inside, outside is always, right, inside has to be plastic. You don't know where the inside is. A thermos has to be tovel because the inside is gonna a lot of times is metal. So you have to know what the inside is. Okay, so this is all regarding types of utensils. Now we move on to part three, and that is the definition of kli seuda. Okay, we did source, background, and definitions. Then we did types of utensils. Next, clay seuda. Kli seuda. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Avodah Zarah, in source number one, now in the third packet, that you only have to tovel clay seuda. If I buy a rake, you know, if I buy a shovel in Yonat Yoma, you know, I don't have to tovel my shovels, right? But you only have to tovel. One only has a chiyuv to tovel kli seuda, meal kalim. So what exactly does that include? So number one, if a shor includes kalim used during a meal, cups and plates and bowls and spoons and silverware, anything used during a meal is obviously a kli seuda, again made out of the materials that we mentioned earlier. What about a kli that's used during a preparatory stage that's never brought to the table? So is that a kli seuda? Something used at the seuda for sure. What if it's used during the preparatory stage? So the Shulchan Aruch says in source 3, yes, if it touches the food. Says source number 3, tripods, what we would call a trivet. Sheshoftim aleim kederos, that you put the pots on, einam tu'udin tefila. Those do not require tefila because the trivet doesn't touch the food. Aval pedilish, something like some other type of kli, tu'unos tefila b'vneshenosim aleim amachal atzmo. Maybe some type of basket that you put the food in, or the pot itself. You know, the pots, anything that comes in direct contact with the food, even in the preparatory stage, would require tevila. And that's why, again, the trays of a toaster, you know, even the grates of an oven, if you buy a new oven, you know, also, a lot of times you'd put a, you know, maybe once in a while, but you put a baked potato, you know, on there. Would it be directly on after you clean it? So, most of the time, not. Most of the time, not. You know, is tinfoil for sure a hefsek? Just a tinfoil? Is tinfoil considered a kli? Is tinfoil considered a kli? And the if possible, it might be a good idea to take the again. You it doesn't directly touch the food, but sorry. Is the foil? If you wrap a baked potato in foil, I'm sorry. Disposable tins. You want it both ways. So if you're saying that if you're going to say you don't have to tovel the tins, there's not going to be a hefsek either way. See, but let's say in a toast.
It doesn't come in contact with the food.
No, but as we'll see, if it can, unless it's let's get to when we talk about putting napkins in the basket. We'll come back to this. But again, generally, if it comes in contact with the food, even in the preparatory stage, a peeler has to be tovelled. Peeler, a grater, any of these have to be tovelled because they come in contact with the food. But what about a can opener? Say about a can opener.
It comes in contact with the food.
So it's not meant to come in contact with the food. You know, only because you push down, again, I'm sorry?
You need a separate one for milk and flashek.
When do you open something flashek or milchik? I don't think you need a separate one. You never use it for hot. Over the can. You wash it in the sink. Usually the can opener, you just rinse out and you put it back in the drawer. You put it back, usually. I'm saying, but generally, it's not meant to touch. Can openers are not meant to touch the food, and maker did it probably doesn't. You want to tovel it because it always touches, like the tuna, the juice goes out a little bit, but it's not meant to touch the food. If it does, okay, you can tovel it without a bracha. I would tovel it without a bracha. What about corkscrew? So a corkscrew lachar does not touch the cork. So the corkscrew lachar, you do not have to, unless sometimes they have these. corkscrew things that you replace, like a cork replacer. So that's if they have his plastic, it's not a problem. Unless you have a metal one. Unless you have a metal, something like that, these ones that you put on, it functions as a funnel. Also, that you have a little thing and you pour that, so that the wine goes right through it. So that would, again, anything that would be a klisu de mamish, because it's used at the meal. Okay. What happens, and this relates to the, maybe probably relates to the grates, what if you have a type of kli that you generally don't put the food directly in? Like a basket, it's your challah basket. You never put the challah directly in. You always put a doily down. You put a basket, if you put a tin foil or saran wrap in the basket, is that good enough to allow it not to require tefillah if you generally do not put food directly on? So it says of Shlomo Zalman, source number 5. By the way, Rabbi Forrest, source number 4 says, can openers do not require tefillah. Eina miyuadim lenogeh b'machal. They're not made. Even if it touches, it's by mistake. You'd rather them not touch the food. You can't say you'd rather the peeler not touch the food. I mean, the peeler is made to touch the food. You know, the can opener, you'd rather not touch it. Like, you'd rather not have to wash it. The other things you obviously use. The can opener, okay, it touches because the stuff goes a little up, but it's not meant to. Like, let's say you have a, doesn't always touch it. Look at that one. Let's say a can of corn that doesn't have a lot of juice. Right? So you open it, it doesn't, you know, you just put it back in the drawer. You don't even have to wash it. So I think if one wants to be mako by the can openers, it's not one of the Yeshul Makom Mahakel. Anyway, Rosh Shlomo Zalman says in source number 5. Ein kli chayev betfila ela imaniach alav machal o mashke b'li hefzik kli acher. The kli does not require tefillah unless you put the food on it without any hefzik. Hefzik niyar ragil o aluminum, mapa o nylon, lo nechshav ma hefzik apotem tefillah. Shlomo Zalman says, Beferish, just putting a plastic on does not constitute a hefzik, and therefore it would require tefillah. Ach, but hefzik sakit niyar o nylon kishet derech shimush akli hinu al yidei sakiyot elu poter as a kli. What does that mean? If these kalim were made never to be used to put stuff directly on it. For example, let's say you have the kalim in Israel that hold the milk bags. Right? So if they're plastic, it's not a problem. But let's say I've seen metal ones also. So that you never use that without the food never goes in there. I mean, it just wouldn't work. The whole thing is lowered and the whole spill out. So says Shlomo Zalman, those that you never put the food directly in, that doesn't require tefillah, if it would be metal or something of the sort. But if it just so happens that you use it and you don't put food directly on, that's what the Shlomo Zalman says in the footnote. The klisha derech tashvishu hu aydei sakit sheyeshbo kagon kad shemachzika mochala besakit shel nylon. So that's chashiv hefsik. Aval imrakai de prisas mapa, or you just put a napkin down, that would require tefillah even with a bracha, says Rosh Shlomo Zalman. So getting back to our oven grates case, you know, the manufacturer of the oven, you know, let's say, you know, you'd put a baked potato in there by itself if it was clean. Let's say the first time, let's say you have to yourself clean it. So nice and clean. So again, you'd put a big, you would, I mean, maybe you wouldn't want to, but again, you would, if it was clean, you would. Let's say you get new racks. So you wouldn't put a baked potato directly on it?
No, it makes it dirty.
It makes the rack dirty.
But
it's not miyuad to be, let's say, by the manufacturer's point of view. The milk things aren't made. Yeah.
What if you have like a pizza oven that the pizza goes directly on the floor of the oven?
But it's what, a whole oven? So that's a mechubal karka. That's not a kli.
Okay.
If the things don't come out, it's a set part of it. So then it's, you don't have a choice. Getting back to what we said before, let's say you have a toaster, most toaster ovens, the things come out. Let's say you have something that doesn't come out. So then it's part, just relates to the electrical utensil issue. You can't get it out. Okay. What happens, other cases, what happens if you have a kli that touches food? It doesn't come up so much, but it might come up. You let me know if you think of any other cases. If you have a kli that touches food during a preparatory stage, but only when the food is inedible. Only when the food is inedible. A peeler could touch a cooked carrot or an apple. So a peeler for sure requires tefillah. But let's say you have something that only touches the food during when it is inedible. So the poskim talk about chicken scissors. Sometimes you might cut the chicken even after it's cooked to put on the plate. You cut out. Let's say somebody likes to cook their chicken whole. Some people like to cook the chicken and then cut it. So that, I think, is lav dafka miyuad. Let's say you have...
metal whisk to whisk eggs.
Let's say somebody has a pastry brush or they have these potato peelers. Only like a potato peeler thing that you can't use for carrots. Right, a carrot is cooked. So we used to use an Erev Pesach. You put the potato on to cook the 5,000 potatoes. We don't eat gebrach, so we only eat potatoes. So the whole week of potatoes. So does that require tefillah if it only touches it during a cookie cutter? Cookie cutters. So again, this is do they require tefillah? So where did the poskim talk about this? Do you have the tovel shchita knife? That's where the poskim talk about it. Special knife that we use for shchita. That's where the poskim discuss it in the Shulchan Aruch in source six. Where is the Shulchan Aruch here? The bottom, source six, source seven, source eight. They discuss it. Lamaisa, it seems that one should probably tovel these things without a bracha. Yeah, there's a discussion in the poskim, which are told about these things without a bracha. Again, the chicken scissors I would do maybe with a bracha, because I think that's not made dafka to cut raw chicken. You know, maybe.
You would only use it for raw chicken?
If you would only use it for raw chicken, okay, maybe without a bracha then. Maybe told about it with something else. Okay. Rav Moshe has a big heter regarding the old-fashioned toasters. Again, this is also just talking about Kli Seuda. Source number 10. Again, not the toaster ovens that we know today, but regarding the old toaster, that the only thing you could do in these is to put toast in from the top. Right? You can't make pizza bagels in the old toasters, right? So those old fashioned toasters, Rav Moshe has a big kula in source number 10. Toaster Mtsarach Tfila. Says Rav Moshe, what does a toaster do? Avala toaster, where it's underlined, Shemiyabshim Shan Pas Afui. A toaster is not called a kli that prepares the food. Because you know what? The bread is prepared already. Anybody could eat bread. You want it to become toast. So that's not called a kli seuda. That's not a food preparer. That is a food enhancer. It enhances already prepared food. So Rav Moshe says, again, this is only about a toaster, not a toaster oven. So Rav Moshe says, Yesh makam lahakel by a plain toaster, that's not called the Kli Seuda. Bishvil mashe shirotzim liyabesh, you want to dry the pas out more, shena imlu huksas yoser, it's nicer for you to eat it when it's toasted. Me'achashel chazak klum, it's fine beforehand. It's fine beforehand. So you want to make it a little better. That does not give it the status of a Kli Seuda, and therefore it would not require tefillah. Again, this is a Chiddush Rav Moshe has. Not everyone agrees to it. I gave you from Rav Sternbach in Shuvas VaHanhagos. He quotes this Rav Moshe, and he says it's a huge Chiddush. I don't agree with it. But either way, that is a heter one should know about. Regarding toasters, they are not called a Kli Seuda according to Rav Moshe. Yeah.
Can you extend that to other utensils?
But what kind of utensils? A blender, but a blender you could use for things that are not ready also. You know, use a blender for things as you prepare food. You know, this a hand blender, right. So actually, yeah, you have a hand blender. You put it in, you press a button, and it zhuzhes. It has a blade at the bottom, right? So the zhuzher, that's what we call it. We call it the zhuzher. Right, so that, lachor, that is, why? I mean, that's preparing food. That's preparing food. That's right. It's raw. Like we make vegetable kugel, right? Yeah, you put all the stuff in and you zhuzh it. So that's. This the toaster in Rosh case. There's nothing else that goes in the toaster besides ready-made bread. That's the only thing that goes in there. Refrigerator racks. What do you say about refrigerator racks? So that's not used in preparing anything, right? So that's not. You don't cook in there. That's not a kli seuda. So that wouldn't require any. By what? By the toasters?
I can understand the George Foreman immersing that.
Okay. So again, this might not be, this not holding of this heter means you might not hold of this svara. You might say there's no other way to tovel it. So you don't have to tovel it. But what I'm saying, this svara of Moshe, of it's not called the Kli Seuda, just that svara, people are, don't fully agree with. The Shulchan Aruch also says, in source number 12, continuing with Kli Seuda. Let's say you buy a Kli, not for Seuda, even though it could be used for a Kli Seuda. Let's say you buy your chicken scissors to cut paper with. you know, you need a scissors. You go to the store. They didn't have any regular scissors. You bought the shukin scissors. But you're going to use it to cut paper with. So you have to tovel that? So the halacha is no. Source number 12 says the Shulchan Aruch. Where if you look at it, V'yeshbi Sha'omer, in the middle of source 12, Shem lo lacho harishon latzarach su'uda el alachto klafim. You didn't buy it for the su'uda, but you bought it to chop things with. Ein sarach latbilo. One does not require to be matmalit. If you then decide to use it for food, right, or if you give it, or if you then give it to your friends to use it for food, then it would require tefillah. But again, that is something that sometimes comes up. A pitcher for a vase. Let's say you buy a pitcher to use for a vase. Also, maker a dinner would not require tefillah unless you decide to use it as a pitcher. So then the mela becomes a klis kli seuda. One final point in this section regarding klis seuda, something that we alluded to at the beginning of last week's shiur. You buy a gift in the store. You want to give it to somebody, so you want to save them the trouble. You're going to tovel it for them. So the Rav Sternbach in Source 14 discusses whether that is something that would work, because as we just said, if you buy something, we had two examples of it so far. One just now, if you buy a kli not to use for food, then you don't have to tovel it. We had earlier, we mentioned it again at the beginning of tonight's shiur, if you buy a kli for schora, for business. We mentioned that the restaurant hetter, b'dieved. That also, you don't have to tovel it. So maybe if I buy something, not to use for me, but to give as a present, so maybe I don't even have a chiv to be tovel yet. And that's not going to work. If I tovel something, you know, without there's no chiv, then it might not work. And maybe the chiv is only going to come when my friend gets it, and now he's going to use it. So is there any question? Just quoting this, I mean, I never thought about it until you do some research. So maybe, you know, is there, what should one do? So again, the Minhag Olam is to what? The Minhag Olam is to generally we just try to get the present and tell them it's not tovel. Right, but that's not a problem. But let's say, is there any way to tovel it for them on their behalf? So Rav Sternbach in Source 14 says, Ha'olam nagul ha'atpil v'achach lasis b'matana. The Minhag Olam is to be makel, to tovel it and then give it. Avolach ora, he says, it appears nearer to Efshar Shatfila lo mo'ila. It could be that the tefillah doesn't help. Umach shilam akabel, and you're going to tell the person it's toveled already. Maybe the tefillah didn't work because it's not theirs, and you don't have a chiyuv to tovel it because it's not your clay seuda. So he discusses this back and forth. What should one do? So at the end, he says, there's a simple solution if you want to tovel it for them, and that is, there's a concept of zachin lo adam shelo b'fanav. Be zoche it, give it to someone else on behalf. You go over to your neighbor. Say, I want to give this to Sarah. So you know what? This be kona it for Sarah. So the other person gets it. Now it's Sarah's. So now you go and double it because now it's Sarah's kli. Zachin lo adam, he could be zoche on behalf. We mentioned this, I think, last year. I don't know if I mentioned it in one of these shiurim. You're not supposed to give gifts on Shabbos. So what do? If you're invited out for lunch and you want to give a bottle of wine and Friday was crazy, you didn't get to give the bottle of wine before Shabbos. Okay, so what do? So if you remember, it's a good idea maybe to just give it, could give it to your husband, could bring it to shul Erev Shabbos, he gets to shul before Shabbos, and he will say to somebody in shul, be zocha this bottle of wine on behalf of so-and-so. Because it now belongs to the other guy before Shabbos. Zachal adam shelo b'fanav. If not, you could come with it with your bottle of wine and say, this is my bottle, but we're sharing it. It's another way to do it. You come... Sorry? You know, you can't, nothing switched. Your right hand and your left hand are the same person. Here, it's a good question, but it can't be a husband and wife either, because they're the same bank account, halachically. So it's got to be somebody, you know, somebody, hopefully not just halachically. Hopefully we're all in it together, shalom bayis. But yes, it has to be a different somebody else. But again, that is, there's a separate idea of a separate topic. But that's what he quotes here. He said he's not sure, but that's his maskana. They should be zochid on behalf of somebody else if you want to tovel it. Yeah.
Okay, that's for a gift. But if it belongs to, like, if you're installing a trunk and you buy something and he says, can I tovel it for you still get the mitzvah.
Yeah, because then you're his shliach. He's your shliach.
Right.
Can I tovel it for you? You bought it.
Right.
Yeah, it's yours. Yeah. Yeah, bowls with the jelly beans, yeah.
There are people that if they buy a dish somewhere where it's less expensive and bring it there and fill it.
Bring it there?
Bring it into a nest and fill it in a nest.
Somebody will buy a bowl.
I'll buy a glass bowl at Amazing Savings.
Okay.
Then bring it to a glass bowl.
Okay, but what's the, and then give it as a gift.
Yeah.
But either way, the person who gets it has a chiyuv to tovolitz. In any case, and the first time issue is the, again, you want a tovel, you want a tovel, a wonderful, and just tell them it's tovelt. You know, that's, but again, be yizokhen on behalf of the chachila. I think many don't, but again, so then just, you know, I think most people don't go out of their way to tovel it for the other person. They just give the gift and say it's not tovelt. But again, it's, one has to be wary of this issue.
If somebody did tovel something and then give it to you, is that a problem?
Okay, you should probably, according to a number of posts, maybe you should tovel it again without a bracha. You tovel it again without a bracha. That's what I would say. If it really, if they bought it totally thinking that they're buying it for the other person.
We got, when Shai's born, we got a baby gift.
Right.
And they toveled it because they wanted us to use it for
it. Right. So again, that's, you know, I think, yesh makom lahakel. Yesh makom, I think this is a, I think, sorry, I think this, I think, right, if it was made by Jew, made in Israel, not a problem. But again, it is a chumrah. I think some poskim would say, what do you mean? As you bought it to be used for a suda, and you could tovel it. But again, if one wants to be extra stringent, should be yotzi these other opinions, be zochet on behalf of somebody else. Okay. Good. Last section. Last section. Preparing for the tefillah and the tefillah itself. Preparing for the tefillah and the tefillah itself. So, just 2 points regarding preparing for the tefillah. Number one is, let's say you have to kasher and tovel something. Let's say you got something from a relative and it's treif, and you know they didn't tovel it. So the kasher it and as you mentioned in the last week, the difference between kashering something, which is either boiling water or fire or some other way of kashering, versus tefillah, which is in a cold mikvah. So the Shulchan Aruch says, based on a Tosfos, that lechatchila one should first do kashering, hagala, and then do tefillah. Sur Meira, first remove the negative inside, and then Asay Tov. Sur Meira, remove the negative, and then Asay Tov. Bidi Eved, it'll probably work the other way too, but that is just point number one in terms of getting ready for the tefillah. First the Haggalah, and then the tefillah, number one. Number two, and that is Chatzitza issues. Remember back, those who were here a couple of years ago when we discussed, we had the Shiurim on Taharas HaMishpacha, we mentioned that there are 3 levels of chatzitza. Same applies to Hilchas Nida. So 3 levels of chatzitza. There's chatzitza daraisa, chatzitza derabanan, and even the minhag to remove. Chatzitza daraisa, biblical chatzitza, biblical interference. Let's go a step back. Really, the water has to touch every single spot on what is being tovelled, whether it's a person, whether it's an item. Every spot has to touch. Bidyeved, what happens if it didn't touch something? So there's something called chatzitza interference on a daraisa level. That is very unusual. Something that is majority covered with some type of interference, and the person is makpid that he doesn't usually want this on him. Somebody's in a wetsuit. That's a chatzitza daraisa. Chatzitza daraisa hardly ever comes up. Right? So here, if the kli is almost totally covered in stickers, you know, that would be a chatzitza daraisa. The next level down, chatzitza derabanan, which is also a din, either or. Either covered by majority or makpid. Either of those are chatzitza derabanan. And we discussed then, what does makpid mean? You're makpid once in a while, that's why we take off our rings. You're makpid by the tilos yadayim, the silchas chatzitza too. Why do you have to take off your rings by the tilos yadayim? Because we're makpid, because if I would be baking dough with challah and sticky and whatever, I'd take off my rings. So I'm makpid about it at some point, that's what we're makmir for that shita, that defines makpid, and therefore we take off our rings before we wash the tilos yadayim. But that's the second level down, of chatzitza derabanan. The third level down is the level of chatzitza mitam minhag. And that is, the minhag is for, we try to remove everything. Even if it's in the minority, and even if I'm not makpid about it, I try to remove every single point of interference on my body when I'm tovel, and on the kli when I'm tovel, I tovel it. So therefore, the Shulchan Aruch says, try your best to try to get off anything on the kli. The Shulchan Aruch discusses rust. We could call it sticky sticker. The sticky stuff under the sticker. Says the Shulchan Aruch in source 20. Tzarech lahaver chalud dekodem tefillah. Try to remove the rust before tefillah. V'im lo ha'avir, if you did not remove it, so it depends. Im makpid alav, it's on the minority. So if you're makpid, which is already the din chatzitza derabanan, then it's chotzes, and you have to tovel it again. And if you're not makpid alav b'di'eved, you know, it works. L'maisa, so what do? You try your best. You try your best to remove the sticker. Sometimes you have to remove the sticker, you have the stuff underneath. You try your best. You don't have to go nuts. You know, you try your best for a while, and after you do your best, then that's it. You're not makpid anymore. Once you did your best and you say, forget it, I'm finished, so that means it's on the minority, you're not makbid anymore, and you did your best. So that's it. You know, one ketovelet once they get to that point. And that's what the Rabbi Four says in Source 21. The Yishli Zar Lahasir Gamas Adevik. Try to remove this sticky substance. Hanishar Lefamim Mitachtav. That's left underneath. Ki Gamda Nefshah Chatzitza. So you try your best to remove the sticky items. The Rabbi Four does continue though and say, and then I'll take the question. What happens if you have a type of kli? I don't have any of these. A type of kli that you want the sticker to stay on. Because this is from this store. This is this type of china. This type of china doesn't need. This type of glass. I want the sticker on. So then that's bottle to the kli. You don't have to remove it. Then you can tovel it with the sticker. Because that's not bottle. That's part of the kli. You're not mocking. You're mocking that it stays on. So that's what he quotes. He says, Erech, he says, Yesh Kalim Shemeduvah Ben Peta Katan. There's a little thing on it. Shedavkida Laharos Erech HaKli. It shows the value of a Chashivuso. And you don't take it off. That's not a Chatzitza. Then you can leave that on. That type of sticker is not a problem. Yeah. If Tovelin would ruin the sticker, then you can take the sticker off afterwards. So again, then you should, right, if you're going to take it off, then you should Tovel it without the sticker.
Now, do I have to wash and get that fudge, or
you rinse it? You should rinse off. Let's say you use nail polish remover, right? That's also, they have all these things in the kalim mikvah to help remove. So you try your best. And you try your best, and you try to get it as clean as possible, and then you tovel it. Yeah.
What about if you notice the sticker after, but you don't want it to be there?
If you notice the sticker after, then you should retovel it. Because that's a if it's a it's a miyut, but you're makbid, so that already gets to the dindurabanan level of chatzitza. Okay, the actual tevila. Last section, the actual tevila. The Shulchan Aruch says in Source 22, Tzarech sheyia hakli rafui biyado b'shas tevila. Make sure that your hand is loose. They didn't have baskets in those days. You could drop it into, so you're going to be holding it. So make sure, says the Shulchan Aruch, that your hand is loose, because the halacha is tevila has to be b'bas achas. At 1 second in time, water has to touch every part of this kli. Hagala kashering doesn't have to. Let's say I have a blowtorch. So I could blowtorch a kli, you know, I can move it around. It doesn't have to be kashered at the same moment. Tevila is a basacha, it's a one-time thing. So therefore, one has to be very careful. So if you're holding it, that even the handle where you're holding it's gotta be loose. Shemahatko biyado have a chatzitza, because if you're holding it tight, it's a chatzitza. The imlichlech yado b'mayim v'tchila, but if you get your hand wet earlier, beforehand, in lachush, then that you don't have to be as worried because you have mikvah water on your hand. The Shach discusses this, whether it helps at all or not. Either way, lamaisa, try to keep your hand as loose as possible, your fingers loose, so that we make sure that it is covered and gets water on every spot. One should make sure, especially by cups and bowls, that the utensil is upside down. Not upside down, right side up. Because if it's upside down, there could be a pocket, an air pocket that could be created, and the water might not get in there if you're holding it upside down. So if you have something that holds something, a cup, a bowl, something like that, one should make sure that the entire utensil is touching the water. One can be tovel. I've always asked this question once. You can be tovel at night. It's not a din of having to be tovel during the day. Let it tovel kelim at night. It's not a meikir hadin. One has to. Again, you know, generally, if the kelim mikvah is near the regular mikvah, so then the kelim mikvah is closed at night. But meikir hadin, if one wants to tovel kelim at night, so then
Parkway
is open at night.
Right,
is there a separate?
They
close the gate. They close the gate.
You have to go in like on the back through that.
Okay. But there, if you ever if you need to do it at night, wait till the next morning. Okay. Good. The bracha that is made, says the Shulchan Aruch in Source 25. When we're tovel kelim, we say Yavarech al tfilas keli. Right? You make the bracha, you have one kli, you say al tfilas keli. V'imhem shayim o yoser, two or more, mevarech al tfilas kelim. I think, we've got to do research on this, but I think this is the only bracha that we have that changes language based on quantity. Lahavlik ner shal Shabbos. Lahavlik ner shal Chanukah. Right? Then it doesn't change based on quantity. This could be the only bracha, trivia question. Go ask your families. What's the only? No, they know you went to a tefillas kelim shir. But I got to wait a few months. They could ask the only bracha that changes based on quantity. One is kli and two is kelim. What happens if you're toveling a pot and its cover? Somebody's buying a new pot. So is that keli or kelim? A pot and its cover. So the Sefer Tefillas Kelim says that a pot cover is not a separate kli. Now that's a kli. The pot cover. If you have a fork and a pot cover, maybe that's two. Because the pot cover is a separate kli regarding everything else. But if it's just the pot and its cover, the Sefer Tefillas Kelim in Source 26 says that's considered one kli. Al kviyas mezuzah, lekvoa mezuzah. One mezuzah, one bracha. You don't say mezuzahs.
If the pot cover is also a strainer, you know, then it goes...
if a pot cover is also a strainer, I've never seen it. But then, I don't know. I would have to see it. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. L'chachila, one should wait. Try to not talk if one is toveling a bunch of things. Try not to talk during the toveling about other things. You're involved in a mitzvah, just like my beer chametz. We try not to talk until the mitzvah is done, unless it's bitzarchei ha-mitzvah. After the tefillah, it's too late. You can't say a bracha anymore because you already tovel. Wait till next time. As we mentioned back in the beginning of last week's shiur, yeah.
I didn't understand that.
No, if you didn't say a bracha on the tefillah, you can't say one after you tovel it already. As we mentioned last time, only tefillas kelim gets a bracha, not hagolas kelim, not kashering. Because kashering is just removing something negative. Removing a problem, you never make a bracha on removing something negative. Being mosif, kedusha, sanctifying, adding kedushas, that gets the bracha, and that's why we say a bracha on tevila. Who is allowed to do the tevila? Could I send in my less than bar bat mitzvah child? You know, I didn't get a spot. I'm going to sit in front of you, just run in and tovel this. And she comes out, and he comes out, and it's dripping. So is that okay? Or could I take my help in the house and help me tovel? You know, so is there any issue regarding that? So the Shulchan Aruch says in Source 28, Ein ma'aminim katan al tefilas kelim. If I send in my child who is not 13 and they come out, or not 12, and they come out and the kli is dripping, I got to take it back inside. You know, a katan, it does not have ne'emanus in this area, and therefore, if they said that I did it, so they are not believed. They're allowed to be tovel. Because tefillah is a mitzias, it's a reality. If it was tovel, it's just that you're not allowed to trust them. You're not allowed to trust less than a bar bat mitzvah. But if they're in the mikvah with you, it's a great chinuch. You say, you put this and you put that, you got to watch them. As long as they do it, you know, let's say you trip and the thing falls out of your hands and falls into the mikvah. That also works. You know, you don't have to dafka l'shem mitzvah tefillah. You know, you miss the bracha. But again, so a cotton could do it. Cotton could do it. One should make sure, Khan can only do it if you are watching. The same thing with a non-Jew as well. The next if. A non-Jew also is allowed to, that's what I was speaking to, as I mentioned before, let's say you have a big restaurant that has like 5,000 forks, so you're going to get some of the non-Jewish help to do it, but you have to have the Jew there watching them. Because they have to take off the stickers at one at a time and to make sure that the whole thing touches, the whole kli touches the water. But again, so a katan and a non-Jew could do it, but only if a Jew, male or female above 13 is watching them. But, you know, you might not want, you have to make sure that you do it in a way that you say the bracha. You should at least do some. You know, you shouldn't just let them do it. You want to be able to make the bracha. So you do at least some of them. And in that way, you would be able to make the bracha. Yeah. Could a Khan make the bracha? He can make the bracha for himself. He's going to do it on his. It's mitam chinuch. It's a good idea to let them make the bracha. You make your bracha on yours. You split up the kalim. You make your bracha on yours, and you give them something to make their bracha on. Right. He should be motzi. I mean, he did it, but you can make your own bracha. You shouldn't be relying on his. Let them make the bracha, and then you can make your own bracha. Again, just one. What a closing note. As we mentioned, again, any other questions, feel free. I think we tried to cover the bases. Yeah? For kashering. Okay, hopefully we have a shiur on it. We had in Yoni Pesach, we had Hagolas Kalim before. I owe you some more kasher shiurim, yeah?
Like, what items can be
kashered? Almost everything. Glass, the whole year, does not have to be kashered. Pesach, we say it can't be kashered. Something that was treif, glass, we paskin can't become treif the whole year. And we paskin for Pesach that it can't become kosher. But metal and all the other most things, except if it's China, if it's cheres, that status of cheres, then we paskin generally that you can't do anything about it. Can't do anything about it. Generally, again, there are heterim if it's very expensive and it's a family heirloom and hasn't been used in a year, hasn't been used in 20 years. And you know, I think somebody in the shul asked. They donated, they used it once. I remember one case just for a sheva brachas or something or other. And I remember it was used, and there was so many sfeikus that was there ever hot on it? Maybe it was just used for this, and it was so many sfeikus, it could be make up if you have like 10 things to be make up with the China, so then, you know, but generally make, if you know for sure China was this, so then, you know, generally we say, unless you could put it into a self-cleaning oven. But a lot of times the China gets ruined then. But self-cleaning oven, we say, that comes out new. Comes out new. Whatever can be going into a self-cleaning oven, you know, that's the best koshering. But glass does not need to. Glass to me, right? May ikar adim. We don't do this again. Not for now. Not for the next year. You could have a cup of chicken soup in your glass, and you could rinse it out, and you could have a cup of hot chocolates out the other way, right? Unless you wait 6 hours. But in general, just the musar behind this whole idea is just that we are so machpin, not just about what we put in our mouth, but the kalim that we use. We also sanctify. We don't just sanctify the food itself, but we sanctify the kalim used. Whether this is a mitzvah d'rabbanan, a mitzvah d'araisa, it is something that we can learn from, and it's a way to, again, imbue our kitchen and our dining room with kedusha and tahara. You know, we shouldn't look at it as a burden, we should look at it as a way to, you know, to mekadish ourselves and more areas of our life. Okay, so Beit Hashem, everybody should have a Chanukah Sameach, and Beit Hashem, we'll figure out when the next year will be in a couple of weeks. Just leave it on already for the daf tomorrow.
Another note, we never have to ask you that. The hechsher, okay.